The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
I go back to Pastor Rob before he went and had surgery, which, yeah, Pastor Rob's back. We had a very small gathering one Sunday. I think the weather was bad, and he pulled everybody over here to this side, your left, my right, and he sat us down and just shared. And something he said has really stuck with me, and it's been resonating, and what I feel the Spirit of God has been sharing with me. And he said, the most important thing is that we pull together for each other in 2018 as families. And we'll just talk about that a little bit. Go ahead and bring that forth, Billy. And I have something I wanted to share. And it's not my illustration. I usually have different illustrations. And this one isn't mine. I stole it from another preacher. But we're going to use it. And the pastor was up here and just today. He was talking about what matters and how close times could be. And we have Billy. He just brought in this rope for us. Thank you, Billy. He brought in this rope, and man, this rope's really long. It goes, I don't know if you can see it, it goes through here and across there, and yeah, don't pull that over. Across there and back through, and it goes, and just imagine Dave's back there with, and that goes and goes, and just imagine this rope just can go on. You can look at it. It could go on for infinity, forever and ever and ever. And at the end here, I put a piece of tape this morning. We had some red duct tape, and I put a piece of red duct tape on this rope. And thank you, Billy. I put this piece of red duct tape here, and this rope represents a timeline. And this timeline is eternity. This rope just goes on and on and on. Imagine it goes out that door and wraps around from the east to the west all the way around the world and then does it again and again and again. But this is where we're at right here. We're this red portion. This is our life on earth. And this little portion, we're putting so much into this little portion, aren't we? This rope goes on and on. Look at it all. But we're putting everything right here. This is what we're worried about, and this is what we're trying to figure out and want to make happen. And we plan here so we can get to here, and then we plan here what we're going to do here and plan here. And we're putting everything in this little piece of red. Well, why don't we take while we're in this little piece of red and plan what's going on the rest of the way? But we think this is where it's at. We worry about all the things that's right here instead of what's everywhere else. But we say we're believers and we say we love Jesus. And how often are we seeking and praying and crying out to God because we need things here fixed. We need things here different. We need things here better. But what about the rest? What about all the rest? And so today I just want to talk about 30 years of myself studying the Word. And remember how we used to study? We would get the Bible. I have a Bible today. I love my son wanted my Bible. I've preached I don't know how many messages out of my old Bible. And he wanted a Bible and he wanted Dad's. So I gave him my Bible. And now I don't have it with me, but we, you know, I do it all the time. It's use a cell phone. Who uses their cell phone for the Bible? Who came in here this morning packing a Bible? A Bible, you know. So we have a few. I used to always pack a Bible, and now I use a crazy cell phone. My son has that old Bible of mine, and he's a techno kid, let me tell you. But every Wednesday at youth, he doesn't miss Wednesdays, and he packs that old Bible of Dad's. He brings the Bible, and I'm like, wow, I don't even pack my Bible anymore. And you remember the day we used to get out the Bible, and we would, you know, we have the, if we were way back then, we have the Greek-Hebrew dictionary, and we have the big Strong's Concordance, and I remember when I used to have I still do, a Rainbow Study Bible and a Dake Study Bible, and then I found they had this thing called the Parallel Bible, where you could get, it had four different versions side by side, and it's like, wow! So you get one of those, the versions you like, and you could study, and now it's just all in the cell. You take out your cell phone, how many, 100 different versions, anything coming and going, anything you want, it's just right there. But we're kicking it back old school a little bit today, remember? How great thou art, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. So I have a Bible this morning. Maybe you do too, maybe you don't. But so in saying that, who in here has ever said to themselves, man, I can't believe that I'm this old already. Well, I just can't believe it. Yeah. Well, yeah, my son's getting his license next week. It's like, you know, I can't believe I'm this old already. And see, the word tells us our life is but a vapor, yeah. Right? And so I'm not preaching, I'm just talking today. It's hard for me not to want to jump and preach, but I'm not supposed to, I don't believe. Our life's just but a vapor. Wow, I can't believe I'm this old. I was going to do this and this and that, and golly, What's the matter, man? Now it's down my shirt. There was a bug. Now it's down my shirt, not just on my shoulder.
Yeah, hold on.
How are you?
There, you're good. Sorry.
No weapon that is formed against me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Got my back. If I would say to you this morning, using the Bible only, and if anyone wants to, tell me, what would you say church is? Assembling of the brethren. What's church? Body of Christ. I've just been thinking a lot about what's church. You know, I'm at Bethel, and I'm supposed to be at Bethel. What's for us? So then I think, well, how did the first church do it? What did they do? How did they start having what we call church? You know, we're the church, but how did they start doing this thing? So, you know, I've been reading the book of Acts this week, and we'll get to it. But they became the first church, they became a community of believers. Okay? When there was a bug on someone's back, someone knocked it off. When someone's zipper was down. Come on. I preached a whole message once and no one there told me. Nobody. Yeah, I've told people here that. Hey, your zipper's down. Come on. So the first church, they became a community of believers, and they shared things, and they did things together. They just didn't hang out on Sunday. And the Word tells us that we're instructed to make disciples. And I think sometimes we get caught up in, well, you know, I want to help them. I want to, you know, get them to be a Christian. I want to get them to church, and I want to get them saved. And I want, well, you're not doing it anyway, but but the Word doesn't tell us all that, does it? It says we're to make disciples. Right. That's our job, to make disciples, not make believers. That's God's job. We make and create disciples in each other. So they would get together and let's say they would sit and maybe the week before they got together in the synagogue or the temple or who knows where, maybe a building, maybe a house, and said, well, here, take this. I made copies, and they had to write them all out by hand, you know. So take this. We have it so easy today. Take this and study it this week and read it, and we'll hang out next week, and I'm going to interpret what I feel it means and tell you about the things of God, and then you've all read it, so you're prepared for it. But you think about, we come in here and we have an anticipation because it's like, what's Pastor going to preach today? What's he going to teach? What's he going to talk about? But would it be awesome if you knew the week ahead and could be prepared for it to learn a little bit about it? It's like when you were in school, didn't you hate pop quizzes? You didn't like tests, but you knew, didn't you like it when you knew what was going to be on the test and you could study and be prepared or you could flunk it? So do we come in here and flunk it? Because Eddie's talking about the book of Acts and I've never even read it. So do we come in here and flunk it? Or do we come in here and be like, I know all about the book of Acts. That first church, they didn't have celebrity preachers. Wow. They just had each other. And they took care of each other. And I want to be part of a body that takes care of each other, that when I say, bye, Dave, if I need him to come over and he's going to help me do some things, which he is, he's going to walk some land for me, give me some advice. I took his gifts and talents, and he's going to give me his gifts and talents and use them to help me. Not on a Sunday morning. So, let's read just a few things. I don't have a lot of scriptures this week, but we're in the book of Acts. And I'm going to read out of this. Wow. Chapter 2, verse 42 in the book of Acts. Where we had cell phones. Remember when did you ever race the scriptures with people so you could get there first? Boom, 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 boom. Wow. Sword drill? I've never heard it called that. Oh, well, sword drill. Wow. So 242 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. So what did they do? They hung out. They were, the doctrine, the teachings, they fellowshiped. They broke bread. They hung out and ate food with each other. And I don't... If you don't take it the wrong way. I'm just sharing. But I've had a few people in here that have been telling me for a few years now, I want to have you over to my house and have some dinner. All right. Just tell me when. I'll be there. Don't keep telling me you'll have me over. Text me and say, Thursday I'm cooking. Okay, I'll be there. They just did it. They broke the bread. They hung out. They prayed. They just did it. And because they just did it, they were able to be in unity. Acts 4:32 says, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And like this, 33 says, you got to read it. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Wow. Chapter 5, verse 42 says, they were daily in the temple. Daily? We come on Sunday. A few of us, just a few of us come to life groups. Mm-hmm. We don't have Sunday night. We don't have Wednesday night. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just talking. I'm just sharing my heart today. That's what I said I was going to do. I'm not preaching. I'm not teaching. I'm sharing what I feel God wants me to share. So daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. We could be in a hurry to get out. You know, last week was Super Bowl. This week's the Daytona 500. I think it comes on at noon. I don't know what time it is, but yeah, Super Bowl is. I was so excited because I'm not a sports fan. I don't follow sports. I don't, you know, I just don't. I have one piece of sports paraphernalia, and that's a Philadelphia Eagles visor. I got the Philadelphia Eagles visor. I was fortunate enough. I got to do chapel devotion for the Philadelphia Eagles years ago, and I got a visor. They got big paychecks. I got a visor. But you know what? I led someone back in fellowship with Jesus at that appointment. He was separated from his wife. And again, I said, this is hard for me, but I am going to share some things about me. But he was separated from his wife. A lot of things going on. He had a little one that was the same age as my son at the time. And they hung out. And this dude came back in fellowship with Jesus. So they won. They won the Super Bowl. Yay. So... And then I was going to do it again. See, I'm trying to get Pastor in on some of this. Maybe it would help Dallas a little bit. I know you got a foot in the door now. You have a foot in the door, and you could get in on some devotions with the Cowboys that may help. I'm just saying. I was doing another devotion for the Eagles, and we're talking about community and family and friends. Something came up with one of my friends, and guess what? I called and I said, hey, I can't do it. I won't be there. This is more important. And my friend even said, well, you're going to give a devotion to the Philadelphia Eagles? You know, you got to go. I said, no. You're more important. Anyways. There are secret floors in top-end hotels. I just said, we're just enjoying it. But you know, they're really secret floors that no one knows. There's this floor with no numbers, and you got to have security to get to it, and no one knows it's there. Those are really there. Security takes you to them. They're really there. For rock stars and athletes, they're really there. So Acts 17, 16 and 17 talks about the marketplace. Acts 17... (clears throat) 16:17 says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Have you ever had church not at church? We used to have, I don't know if he's even in here. Is Todd in here? Oh, he's hanging out in the back. I know Todd and I, we've had church at McDonald's before. A matter of fact, the last time we had church at McDonald's, we had a couple people there. One of them was a professional stripper, and we had church. And I just shared that to say, I don't know if we planted any good seed, but, you know, she was a stripper. She was a drug addict. She knew of Jesus, but she didn't know Jesus. Well, now she's married, it's kids, got her life cleaned up. We have service at McDonald's. Well, you don't have to have this. Go have church. Go have church somewhere. The first church, guess what? They didn't have program. They didn't have children's church. They didn't have VBS. They didn't have Sunday school. They didn't have all this great stuff that we have. They didn't have prophetic classes. They didn't have life groups. You know, they didn't have revivals. They didn't have renewals. They didn't have all this stuff. They just got together and made disciples. But I think sometimes we come in here and we expect more than that. We expect more than that out of the worship team and out of the opening prayer and out of whatever videos and out of the pastor's message and out of whether you got prayed for or prophesied to. Maybe we expect more than we should expect. Maybe we should just expect to meet Jesus and make disciples.
Come on, sir. Yes, yes, yes.
I used the Bible today. I said this week I've read through Acts, and we've been talking about, I have a life group on Wednesdays, and we stay going all through the year, and we have room for about four more people. We'd love for four more people to come, but we always talk about the first of the year reading the Bible and, you know, sitting down and reading the Bible. The Bible has 260 chapters. It has 180,000 or so words. You know, and the average reader, the lower average reader reads 200 words a minute. You know, so that equates to, you know, you can read the New Testament in 13, 14 hours. You know, we come in here and I want a word. I want something. I want a prophecy. Well, so I've been talking about the book of Acts. Go home today and read the book of Acts. There's 28 chapters in the book of Acts. 28 chapters in the book of Acts. It'll take you an hour. It'll take you an hour. Have you ever read the book of Acts? We come to church every week and we want to be church and do church. Have you read the book of Acts? It talks to you about the first church and what they did and how it happened and how they hung out. And did you think it'd be a good idea to read it this week? I think read the book of Acts this week. Surely you can figure out where there's an hour. Like, I got Linda back there. Linda, she's like, I'm going to read all the, and she may have by now. I'm reading the New Testament. I read it every January. I'm reading the New Testament. Linda's reading the New Testament. We have a few other people that are trying, you know, read through a bunch. You know, it's so simple. To read the Bible and make disciples, you know. You think if we read it, we would get more out of pastors' messages?
Yeah. Well,
come on now. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you would. I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you would. You know. We have so many needs just here in this little group that we have. We have so many needs that we can each help fulfill for each other. In this little community we have. You know, it's great to look out and reach out and see all the missionaries and all the different areas we can help in, but I've been going back. I've been thinking about this a lot. I shared something with our head deacon last week about some things we need to do, looking more inward into this house and things that we each need taken care of. And I just keep going back to what Pastor said, is that we pull together in 2018 as families for us, for each other. I just keep thinking of that a lot. But you know, there's believers in the church today who are doing things for the kingdom. You know, there's people who do lots of things for the kingdom. But that, how does that start? It starts with a biblical conviction. It starts with, oh, okay, I really think I should join a life group. This isn't a life group pitch. But it's not trying to convict you to go to life group. But say, well, man, I've been reading my word, and I'd like more. I'd like to get to know some people. I'd like to get to know Otis and Ivy. I really don't know them. You know, they sing great, and I don't know them. I'd like to get to know them. They have a life group. So it's like that starts with a conviction. It's like, okay, I'd like to do that. We don't have to hear an audible voice from God that says, do this. It's like, oh, you know, God didn't tell me to do that. That's for Tony, Maxie. God didn't tell me to do that. He didn't tell me. Oh, really? He told those people, but God didn't tell me. But have you read anything in this lately? I don't want to make you feel bad. Sharing my heart. What does it say? What have you read? What have you studied? You mean, Susie, you need an audible voice. Not like the rest of us who do things for Jesus just because we have his written word. Susie needs the audible voice. I could read the word and say, man, I should do something about that. But I didn't hear anything from God. Did God tell you to go to the movies? What did God tell you to watch on TV last night? You didn't hear from God, so don't do it. Did you eat any breakfast? What did God tell you to eat? Because if he didn't tell you to eat, you should be fasting this morning, right? What did God tell you to eat? But if God would tell me, I would do it. So to serve God, to actually do something for the kingdom, you need an audible voice. The word of God is just not enough. It tells us everything. I've said this before. If you could read something that told you the winning lottery numbers, would you go pick those numbers? This tells us everything. I was sitting watching TV right after Hurricane Katrina, and I thought, it was just a few days after, and I thought, well, oh gosh, what do I do? Could I send some money somewhere? Probably wouldn't get there. They use it for something else. What do I do? And I just said, well, just go help. So I called up a friend of mine who battled with addictions. And I said to him point blank, get your head out of your butt. Because he was on a sleep off recovery from being on a bender. And I said, get your head out of your butt. We're going to go to Mississippi and help some people. And I didn't say but. God didn't tell me. I said, let's do something. So, decided to do something. So, then it became spirit-led. And then doors and paths and everything started working out. And the next thing you know, we have a team of people going down within less than 7 days after the hurricane. We have a way to get in because you couldn't get in. You couldn't just drive in. It was all shut down and they had curfews, and the military was there, helicopters, and all. It was crazy. But in just a few days, when I said, let's just go, man, we had a group of people. We had funds to go. None of us had any money to go do that. If someone said, you'll go to Florida and help this person tomorrow, how would you get there? Who's got extra money laying around to do that? Hey, man, we had money to get there. We had fuel. There was not, once you got so far, there weren't gas stations. You couldn't get fuel. We had to take stuff to have enough fuel to pack with you to get there. All this just came together. And, you know, we're down. It was so cool. We made a connection with the guy. It's a long story that I won't go into. But I happened to run to Galpus. We made a connection with this guy. Never, ever met the man. I pulled in a place, was buying some stuff for chainsaws. They told us they'd give us a really big discount. And there was a guy there, and I looked at him, and he kind of looked like Chuck. And I looked at him. His name was Dan Wellman. And I never met the guy. Didn't know what he looked like. I looked at him, and the Holy Spirit said, there's Dan Wellman. I said, Dan Wellman, I'm Eddie Bear. We've been talking to each other on the phone. And we just looked at each other. Like, praise the Lord, and we're both doing a little dance. But is that awesome or what? But when I was sitting in my living room chair, God didn't say, go down there and help some people. I just said, let's go help some people. And then all this stuff, God put the rest together. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear an audible voice go do it. I heard the voice of God when he said, that's Dan. I had never met the man in my life. That's never happened to me since. Never happened to me before that. I just think that's cool. You may not, but I do. So, you know, we made several trips after that. We rebuilt several houses. We gave away thousands of dollars. We had nothing. You know, ended up being a little handful group of us. We gave away thousands of dollars to people down there. So I'm saying, sometimes you just have to read the word and be inspired to do something and see what happens.
Yeah.
If you fall down, it's like, I guess that wasn't it. Let's go try something else. The Lord told my wife one day, there's a minister we know, and he doesn't believe in anything. And his car was broke down. And my wife was at the restaurant where his car was broke down, and God told her to go lay hands on his hood. I've told Pastor Rob this story. To go lay hands on his hood and pray for his car to start. God told her. She didn't come up with that on her own. She went over there, and she laid hands on that dude's hood, and he got out of his car, and he said, what are you doing? And she told him, and he started laughing. This is a minister. He started laughing at her. She laid hands on that hood, and she's prayed for God to start and fix that car to show him how powerful and awesome God is. And she looked at him. He was a Baptist minister. She looked at him and said, now get in your car and start it. And he was still laughing, and he got in his car and started right up. And then she got a little, she just went back to the car, you know. She probably shouldn't have done that, but hey, what would you have done? Isn't it exciting when you hear that what people were doing for the kingdom of God? But how much more fulfilling and exciting would it be if you were the one that was in the middle of doing things for the kingdom of God? How would you feel if you had laid hands on someone's after the fact, it'd feel good, but during the fact, it'd be scary, but it'd lay hands on someone's car and start right up. Wow, what if you're in the middle of something God's doing? What if you, we can be. Amen. Bethel community can be in the middle of stuff God's doing. I'm not going to preach. I'm not supposed to, so. But we can be in the middle of things that God's doing. And we can be in the middle of things that God wants us to do. People inside this house to help with things. We have a lot of needs sitting here just this morning, people that need things. And we're giving and doing to lots of ministries and lots of places, but we have lots of things right here that we need to take care of for each other. And I didn't go over those scriptures, but that's with, I don't even know the time, but I'll probably, but that's what the first church did. They're like, man, Jeff's struggling. What do you got? What can we pull together this morning? What do we got? Well, you got a diamond ring, and you got to take care of Jeff this week. Jeff's not struggling, I don't think, but if you're supposed to give him something, give it to him today. My wife had to do that once. We were sitting in a service in Columbus. She wanted this ring, and she had been saving and saving for this ring. It wasn't a cheap ring. She got the ring on Friday. We were in a service at World Harvest on a Sunday. There's this woman across the aisle from her, like Otis is on the end, and imagine someone on that end. Okay, that means I got 15 minutes. Someone on that end, and yeah, my wife looked at me, and she's like, oh, man. I said, what? She said, I gotta give away my new ring. I said, what? She'd been saving for a long time for this ring. I mean, months and months. So I gotta give away my ring. I said, you sure? She said, yeah, that woman over there. And I looked across the aisle, and this woman didn't have any jewelry. You know, you can tell people like jewelry. She didn't have any jewelry on. I said, that woman doesn't even like jewelry. She said, it doesn't matter. God told me to give her my ring. So she goes over to that woman, you know, gives her the ring, comes back. If there's things we're supposed to do with people in here, just do it. Yeah. That's what's great about life groups, too. You get to know people. You know, this is a Sunday crowd's You don't get, you say hi on Sunday, you know. Who do you get to know on Sunday? You say hi. This is as Apostle Mark has taught us, Sunday morning, this is an unaccountability crowd. Ooh, we're not accountable. We just come. Come when we want. Don't come when we want. Come late. Leave early. Do whatever. Just, you know, come in. Get yourself a little feel good on. Go home. I'm just sharing my heart to help you. You know, you get in small groups and you get to know each other. You know when something's going on. You know, I'm looking at Chris. I said to Christy this morning, she's got a little grandbaby going to come anytime. And I said, if a big alarm goes off on your phone, you take off running. You know, is it the baby's coming? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that didn't know Christy and didn't know she's going to be a grandma. But I do because she's in my life group. I'm in her life group. So we know each other. And my wife I'm not a Facebook fan, if you know me. I'm not on it. Not a fan. She put something on Facebook a few days ago. We've gone through some difficult challenges this week. I just call it life. We all go through it. I guess she put on there, prayers appreciated. Start getting phone calls. I said, honey, I'm going to give you the numbers of the people in life group. And when you need prayers, you just send a text out to our life group people and they'll pray for you and you won't have all this gossip. that's what life group is. So they made disciples. My grandpa would tell me stories, and we're still talking about church, right? He would tell me stories when he was little. They would harness up the horses to the wagon, and he said they would go, they would have different camp meetings. He said they called them camp meetings, and they would have them in Harrisonville and Rutland and different little communities. And he said they would go. Now, him and my grandpa didn't sit in on them. They just took my great-grandma. My grandpa and my great-grandpa and my great-grandma. They took my great-grandma, and then they hung out in the wagon. They didn't go to the camp meetings. But he said they would get there, and they would stay till the next day. He said them women would sing and shout and run around, and they were there till the next day. They stayed all night. And he said, you know, when there was churches, my great-grandpa, who didn't regularly attend anywhere, but he helped build a church, and he said when the church down the road was having a get-together, they were having a revival or renewal or whatever, the other churches would close down, and everyone went to their get-together. We don't do that. Golly knows. But why not? It's like, man, they supported each other. Okay, how would you feel if Pastor Rob said, oh, we're not having church this week. We're going to Tupper's Plains to the Methodist church. They're having a big camp meeting. I would be like, I don't want to. I want to come here. But that's how they used to do it. They're like, hey, let's go support them. Let's go support them. Let's go support them. You know, they would support each other. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I was 17 and I didn't know anything, you know, about Christianity really. And I was seeing my wife, I was seeing Trish, we were dating. We started dating when she was 14 she said, it was a Wednesday, and she had just had her license. She said, it was a Monday. And she said, at school, I got to take Mom to church tonight. I said, but it's Monday. She said, well, they're having a revival. And I said, what's that? She said, well, they have church all week. And I said, why? And she had to take her mom on Sunday, and she had to take her mom on Wednesday. Now, she didn't have to take her every Sunday night. Every other Sunday night, she had to take her. I said, why? Have a Monday. She said, what's a revival? They do it every day. I said, what do they do? So I said, well, baby, I want to see you, so I'm going. So I went, and she said, well, I got to tell you the rest. She said, it's a tent revival. And I said, what's that mean? She said, it's outside. Now, I thought she's messing with me. I know some of you have heard me tell this story, but I feel it's pertinent. So I thought she was messing with me. She said, no, it's outside. I said, you're serious? She said, yeah, it's in a big tent. I said, you crawl in? She said, no, it's a great big tent. You know, I was a Boy Scout. I'm going to send a tent. I'm going to get there a bunch of people. And it's just like, hmm. She said, no, it's a great big tent like a circus. I said, oh. I said, where is it at? She said, well, it's just out in the middle of a cow pasture. I said, what? You don't. What? She said, no, really. We got to go through a gate, and there's cows there and everything. All right. And I went to this thing, and there's all these people, and, man, they had instruments, and they were jamming like this morning with the old-time songs, and I sat in the back, and so I always look at people and think, no matter what they're saying, no matter what they're doing, God's dealing with them, because I sat back there and laughed out loud. I'd never seen such a thing in my life, and when she said it's like a circus, I thought it was a circus. I laughed out loud. So we left, and she only had to take her mom one night. And her mom said, well, what'd you think? I was in the back seat of Trisha's car, and I said, it just came out of my mouth. I said, well, can we come back tomorrow? And Trish turned around and looked at me. Wasn't a good look. She wasn't a Christian. And my mother-in-law said, well, if Trish will bring us, we can come. And that second night, I didn't even understand it. But I was up in front. It's just dirt. It wasn't muddy. It was just dirt, just dry dirt. I was up in front, kneeled down in that dirt, bawling, crying. All these people around me didn't know any of them. I didn't know anybody there. They're all around me praying out loud, and they're all crying too. They didn't even know me. And you know, and again, I'm not being critical, but I see sometimes people come up here for prayer, and man, a lot of times I think there should be some people come up pray with them. Sometimes that does happen, but maybe it should happen more. Maybe we should be gathering around the people up here praying and crying and praying with them. And all these people were around me praying and crying, and I'm crying, and I'm like, oh, this is crazy. And I get up, and they all start hugging me, telling me, I want to help you, and this is my name, and I'm here for you, and I want to help you. And I'm like, who are these strange people? I don't even know them. And I said, well, I'm going to go to church with these people. And they had this little country church. I mean, it was a shanty. It was a shanty. It leaned like this. I'm not exaggerating, folks. It leaned like this. They used the old building for free, okay? You could see through the walls, through the cracks in the walls. It didn't have anything inside. It was just the wood siding on the outside. And then the two befores that, you know, and man, these people, you go in there, and man, they were just shouting and serving Jesus. And down the center, you know, it's so nice. We come in here, we have lights, we have heat, we have all kinds of stuff. Down the center, they just had wires hanging with single light bulbs on them. That was our lights. And I remember about winter, it's freezing cold in there. And so I'm 17 years old, and I thought, what can I do? God didn't tell me. I thought, what can I do? It's freezing cold in here, and there's a bunch of old people. So I had an old Jeep CJ5, and I went to the hardware store and got some plastic and threw a ladder on my Jeep, and I went out there. I didn't ask. I don't think they had deacons or anything. I didn't go say, well, I was like, no, man, these windows, it's just like blowing in from outside. I went and got plastic, put ladders up. Man, I stapled plastic all on there, and then I thought, this place is dirty. It's filthy dirty. They didn't have vacuum sweepers or cleaning supplies. They didn't have nothing. They have no money. Every week I'd pack a vacuum sweeper in the back of my Jeep and drive out there. Me and Trish would sweep them old wood floors. It didn't help them. By golly, I vacuumed everything. And I felt great. No one gave me anything. I don't even remember if anyone said thanks. That's not why I did it. I saw something I could do and wanted to help. I wanted to be part. I saw a need that I could fix. I could fix that cold air blowing through those windows and freezing these old folks. Amen. Come on. So since then, you know, I've done about anything you can. I've been janitor, I've mowed grass, I've been a roofer, VBS coordinator, teen leader, associate pastor, youth pastor, administrator, just planted a church, I've pastored a church, just done all this stuff. But in all that stuff, in all the services I've been in, and all the places I've gone, and the get-togethers and camp meetings and seminars, you know what I remember about it all? I remember the people. I don't remember many things that have been preached. I don't. But I remember people all along the way and all those different things I did. I remember people and the people that I was involved with and did things with and did things for. And I remember the people and the testimonies and the stories that the people have. That's what I remember. The people. You know, it's about the people. It's about making disciples. So sometimes it's okay to look back at the past to see the things we've done and to see what they were about. And they were about people. I can remember volunteering to put roofs. I don't know how many roofs I've helped put on people's house. Just as they needed a roof and said, hey, buy the stuff. We're going to come roof your house and bless you. What? Yeah, we're going to pray with you. Well, you know, if someone's putting a roof on your house for free, you're going to let them pray. Man, we used to raise our own beef. We would butcher and give away meat because it gave me opportunities to go to someone's house and say, hey, I got you a bag of meat. Can I talk to you? And all the different things I've done, I think about people. I think today I couldn't hardly get started because thinking about baptisms and when my son got baptized. And, you know, I think about the different times that we've went. I've done baptisms in prisons and people get. I remember the people. I don't remember the service or what the overhead said or the color of lights, but I remember each other. Someone may leave here and the only thing they remember was, man, I love that guy that played the keyboards. He could play those keyboards like nothing coming or going. They remember the people. So this Bethel community, you know, it shouldn't be about more programs and better speakers and a revival and a renewal or you know, topping our last year's VBS or better decorations or better. Those things are all okay. But it should be about us. Making disciples, right? Making disciples, it's us. That's what it should be about. And that's what I want to see us become about more. Making disciples, being there for each other, being able to help each other. Finding little groups that we can connect with and disciple each other. I think it's about learning to teach each other to read. So, did you read any Bible this week? Sometimes we need to be accountable. I don't like it, but I need it. Like, did you read anything this week? No. But I'm going to read something next week because I have to share a message. No, wait a minute. It's like, hey, man, what'd you read this week? Joe, what'd you read this week? Well, I didn't read anything, but I'm going to try to do better. Or, Joe, what'd you read this week? Man, I read the whole book of Acts. Man, that's great. That's fantastic. Getting the book of Acts, cool, you know. What do you think it was like when they just walked around? The book of Acts, they just walk around a lot. Lots, they walk around and people get healed. Like, everyone. This is after Jesus' resurrection. So, see, it should get you going. You want to go home and read the book? People would just get healed. They'd lay hands. Everyone was getting healed. Shadows were healing. People were being added by the hundreds. And then it says, by the thousands. It's like, what? What kind of... Who'd they have preaching? No, it was Jesus. It was just about Jesus and making disciples. And people wanted it. They wanted it. They wanted it bad. It's like, we got to just want it so bad. So maybe just maybe we should stop asking God to put us in the center. I'm getting that wrong. Maybe we should stop asking God to bless us or to show us or to tell us, but just be asking God, God, put me in the center of what's going on. Put me, Sunday morning, put me somewhere at Bethel around someone that needs my help. Something that I can do that someone needs, put me in the middle of that. Instead of saying, Lord, get me through this week. I can't deal with this. How am I going to get through? I need this and this and this and this. And things got to get better. And I got to do. You know what? The job, the house, the car, the stuff, all that, it doesn't really matter much. But making disciples will go on and on and on and on. I'm not here seeking help because Bethel needs more help in different areas and different ministries. That's not what this sharing is about. Not at all. We love help. We love volunteers. The more, the better. That's great. But that's not what this is about. I don't want people to think, oh, I got to find out where I can. No, this is about people. This is about the people you're sitting around. This is about how many people in here do you not know their names yet? Learn their names. God will help you. We were in between fellowships, and we found this place that we really liked, and we knew we were heading off to start something of our own, but we wanted to go somewhere in the interim, and we went to this place. I tried it four times. This is a little church. I tried it four times, and every time we had the same greeters, okay, and every week, they introduced themselves to me and said, it's nice to meet you. What's your name? Okay. Now, the second week, I understood. Okay, they're not sure. The third week, I'm like, all right. You know, there's 25 people here. You don't remember me from... Okay. By the fourth week, when the same people still... Say, hey, I'm Bob, and this is Mary, and what's your name? We're so glad you came. We'd love to have you come back. You know, we got two visitors, first-time visitors packets, from the same people. You know, and it's like, all right, really? You know, so work it. Work at getting to know each other. And, I mean, we didn't hold that against the church, so don't get me wrong. But I just thought, wow, if I saw Tina and JD give new visitor packet to the same person for 2 months, I'd be talking to JD. It's like... Pick some people. Take them to your house. Man, have them over to eat. Disciple them. Open the Word. Man, we used to have Bible studies. We would just, group people come to the house, and we just start dissecting the Word. That was so good. It was about people, just people. Not all the fluff, just people. Disciple each other. Love each other. Be a friend. You can't be friends with everyone, but you can be friends with some people. Become a friend. Use your gifts and use your talents to help each other. Find needs and fill them. We found that there was a need last week. It's like, hey, we got to do something about this. And there's still more that needs done. You know, maybe we should have a place where people can turn in cards that say, here's my gifts and talents, and I don't know how I could be used with the people at Bethel, but I want to be used more, so here's my gifts and talents, and you connect me. You connect me. It could be, well, I've went to people that I didn't even know, and we've mowed their grass and weed-eated their yards. Didn't even know them. I bet there's people in here who can't keep up with their yard work. If we're going to image the book of Acts, then we need to take care of each other. Become better disciples. Become better Christ followers. Because our walk's not about living to preach or teach or be in ministry or stand in front of people. Our walk's about each other. It's about helping each other. All this other stuff's great and good, and we need it as the church, but it's about us. Man, I can stand up here and say lots of good things, but if Otis comes to me and says, "Hey, brother, I need $5, and I have so many $5 bills in my pocket, I don't know what to do with them," and I'm like, "Nah, go get another job, Otis. Man, go get another job. Work for your money. I worked for mine." No, man, I'm going to give him $5. So it has to be not about what we say, but about what we do. Right? It's about what we do. We can say lots of great stuff. The enemy, he knows his Bible inside out. He could say lots of great stuff too. You know him because of what the enemy does. You can recognize that. Use the word against you like he used the word against Jesus. But Jesus recognized who the enemy was. He said, no. So we recognize each other by who we are. You know, I'll close with, I was going to do this sooner, but it didn't fit. So then I thought, well, I won't do it. And then I thought, no, I will, because I don't want to take that home. But it's just the simplest little thing. I have a pie. Does anyone like coconut cream pie? Yeah. This is a store one. So it's probably still pretty good. But it's a store coconut cream pie. It's not a homemade coconut cream pie. Factory made. That's sacrilegious eating in church up front, isn't it? That's just. So, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'll finish that piece, but I can't eat the rest. I know there's some people who like coconut cream pie. She wouldn't like it that well. It's not homemade. So there's maybe people who like to have that coconut cream pie. But how do you get it? How are you going to get it? Oh? Go a little deeper than have to ask. Who's there? You go. Come on, do it. Betty might have this figured out. There was only one piece cut, and that was my piece. Betty, did you pray about that?
I didn't need to.
Sometimes you just got to do something if you want it. She didn't, we didn't even rehearse that. She didn't need to. No, I'm going to pray. She won that pie. It's going to happen. I'm going to go get it. I could have said, no, that's not our illustration. But I didn't. she continued to do what she wanted to do.
You open the door.
So, anybody else who thought about, I could just walk up there and get it. You missed out because she beat you to it. So wouldn't that be cool? I need to quit. Wouldn't that be cool if Angie came in here with a need and like five people went to Angie and said, hey, something's going on. What can I do to help? I want to help you. And by the time she got to the fifth person that went and said, Angie, I want to help, she'd be saying, well, I don't need help because Tammy said she wanted to help me and Siva said she wanted to help me and, you know, and Danny said he wanted to help me and I'm helped out. Wouldn't that be awesome to go somewhere like that? It's like, wow. I love this morning. She's not in here, Ivy. It's nice. Prophecy's nice. We're a very prophetic house. Ivy came to me this morning. She still doesn't know, but she in morning prayer she put both her hands on me and prayed something, and it was prophetic. I don't know if she knows it, but it was prophetic things that were happening with me, and so that was cool. That was awesome. You know, it's great to be used like that. On the receiving and the giving end. But you know what? There's a gazillion prophecies in here that'll apply to your life. Man, it's full of prophetic stuff for you and me. If I could go to church and, Pastor, just give me a word. We haven't opened our Bible for a month. If we'd open our Bible, we'd all be flocking to Angie saying, what do you need? And we'd be going to Susie saying, what do you need? We'll just be able to do that. That's where Bethel's going. We're going to be able to. I believe it, or I wouldn't be talking about it. We're going to be able to have that kind of, it's still there, yeah, Bethel community. It's like, yeah, they need something. Okay, what do you need, Mitch? I know something's going on. I'm there, man. That's us. That's where we're heading. That's us. It's exciting. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That's all I have. That's it. Pastor had a great short message. If you need to come up for prayer, he had. If you didn't know Jesus, man, he put it all out early because I'm thinking, it just doesn't fit with what I have to share. And there has to be an opportunity in it. We had it. There's still opportunity. We can always pray. Pray and believe. Pray. If you want to become a student of the Word of God, you know, if you want to become obsessed with reading it and learning it and studying it, just pray. Pray that God will help you with that. There was a time in my life when I prayed and prayed because I didn't understand a lot in the Bible, and I do use other versions, but mostly it's King James. Even this morning I told him, I said, I need a King James Bible, and of course it was the new King James. It's a little different, but I still like King James, and I just didn't understand everything. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and sought the face of God, and you know what? I was in a service, and I felt the Spirit just slam me, and from that day forward, I have it documented in my big old Dake's study Bible. The Word just came alive. I could understand it so much better. God's not a respecter of persons. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to get it. He wants you to receive it. He wants you to know it. He wants you to use it. Valentine's Day's coming up, and you know, I know all the ladies especially, they want cards and little Valentine notes. Oh, I guess. So I put my pants on this morning. It's squirrel. I put my pants on, and I haven't worn for about a month. I'm like, oh, money. And I pulled it out. It wasn't mine. I'm like, what is this? And my wife knew I was wearing these today. I put my clothes out the night before, and I got a little, I love you. That's sweet. That's 28 years right there, and I still get, I love you. Isn't that nice? You know, so... So on Valentine's Day, it's sweet to give them a little card or a little note or that they can read and know your love. And God gave us this big love letter, and He wants us to know how special we are, to know how important we are, to know that you're the apple of His eye, to know that He has everything for you for all of eternity. It's right here. He wants you to know. And if Trish gives, now I'm not as much about the cards as her, but if she gives me a card just like that note, you think I'm not going to read it? She's my wife. She said, till death do us part. She said, for richer or poorer. No one else said that. She's it. She's my wife. I'm going to read what she says to me. He's your God. And we say we love Him. So don't we want to know what He has for us? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.